If you look at the words, the very first words of today's gospel, Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire." And how I wish it were already blazing. There's a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. There's different translations that I've seen, and I frankly stole this very first line from Bishop Barron because his ministry is called Word on Fire, so he loves this. But sometimes they will say, "I've come to bring fire to the earth, I've come to light a fire." This gospel says, "I have come to set the earth on fire." That's probably a better translation. The actual original Greek was, "I have come to," the word was balein, throw, it's like to hurl. So he's got like this big ball of fire, and I've come to just blast the earth with this, and throw fire down upon the earth. And you're thinking, is this little Jesus who, you know, just the other day he was telling, "Let the little children come to me and I will hug them and do all those things." And you're like, wow, woke up on the wrong side of the bed that day. So what's going on here? Well, if we want to really understand the heart of Christ, we do need to understand. And actually, even if you look at the Sacred Heart image, you see this heart crowned with thorns with a cross. And what is it? It is on fire. So, in order to understand the heart of Christ, we have to understand it is constantly burning. Christ is not indifferent. Christ is not just a good guy and just like, well, let everyone just be at peace and, you know, let's not rock the boat. Christ wants to rock the boat. Christ's heart is, he can hardly contain himself because the fire that Christ's heart is burning with is the fire of the Holy Spirit, ultimately. And there's two different things that we can say about this fire. It is a fire of truth, and it is a fire of love. And if there's something that Christ cannot stand, well, he obviously can't stand hatred, the opposite of love, but he cannot stand lies. He cannot stand the fact that we choose to allow our lies in our lives in order to just get by and be comfortable. And what Christ is saying is, my heart is in anguish until this fire that I want to bring to the world, which is going to come in Pentecost and with the birth of the Catholic Church, my heart is in anguish until this fire can be thrown onto the earth in the form of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost and enkindle the earth. So what are we looking at here? Well, I think one good analogy, you guys remember for the kids, this is a long time ago. I think it actually came out in the late 90s. It might not even have been the 2000s. The movie The Matrix. Do you guys even know what The Matrix is about? It's kind of a classic movie, okay? It was like when Keanu Reeves became cool. Okay. The Matrix, well, I don't want to have to spend all my homily talking about it, but the idea was this. Keanu Reeves is this computer hacker, and you guys would laugh because he's got like, that's back when the cell phones were still like the size of my shoe. It's like he flips out this big Motorola, which is supposed to be cool. So anyway, forget the technology part. But the idea was he discovers that we're living in a lie and that the reality is that we're all plugged into, like, literally plugged in with wires and cables into this giant computer network, and all our brains are tied together and we're being controlled by some computer program somewhere. Okay, that's what The Matrix was. And The Matrix is keeping us all under the illusion of living in, like, our day-to-day society. But then if you're able to get behind it, you realize actually the world is something totally different. Well, there's a truth to that in the sense that the devil likes to create the matrix. The devil wants to create, he keeps us living in and living by and accepting in our daily lives a whole lot of lies. Every time you and I accept sin in our lives, we accept a lie. Every time we accept cultural criteria that contradict the gospel, we accept a lie. And a lot, frankly, what's being taught in our schooling systems, by the way, a lot of what you guys have been spoon-fed for the last 15, 20 years at least, frankly, even going way back, but especially from about the year 2010 onwards, has been this incredible downloading of doctrines of lies that totally contradict the gospel. Every time you go into society and you look and you see messages that are attacking the family, attacking the fact that men are men, women are women, attacking parents' rights to be able to educate their children, for example, we're looking at a culture of lies that has consequences. And Christ, when he looks at this, he can't handle the fact, because he loves us too much to allow us to go through life eating and drinking and wallowing in a world of lies, he wants to bring truth. Now, the thing is this. These lies, why do we accept them? Because they're comfortable, at least short term. Because it's kind of like doing a drug. Why do you do a drug? Nobody looks at some junkie on the, in Skid Row and says, I want to be like that. But when life hurts too much, we want to numb ourselves, then we turn to something like, whatever the drug of the day is. It used to be, I don't even know anymore, but whatever it is, I guess now fentanyl is the big one, although most people don't even take that one on purpose, it just kind of gets snuck in. We turn to that in order to deaden, in order not to have to deal with the pain of day to day. And what happens? Life gets a whole lot worse in a hurry. That's sin. And Christ does not want us to live that kind of a life. Christ wants us to live the fullness of life. And Christ wants, therefore, to purify us. And how is he going to purify us? He said it himself, with fire. I have come to set the world on fire. Now, being purified by fire is going to hurt. Actually, there's... when we talk about, probably you wonder, why the heck do we even talk about purifying with fire, right? Couldn't you just purify with soap and water? Well, here's the thing. Purifying with fire is making reference to the way we used to purify gold. Now there are other ways of doing it that are probably more effective, but back in the day, if you wanted to purify gold, what did you do? You melted it, you stuck it in the fire, you melted it, and then let it cool down and harden. And what happens is the gold would sink, all the other nasty stuff would rise to the top, and then it would cool down and harden, and you take a hammer and you smash off all the nasty stuff. And then you do it again, and you do it again, until you have pure gold. And when the goldsmith knows that his gold is getting to be really pure is when the gold is melted, it's in the fire and it's melted, and he can see his own reflection in it, he says, yeah, it's getting there. And the more he can see his reflection, the purer the gold. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants to stick us in the fire and purify us of all the stuff that is preventing us from being pure gold, what we are made to be. And when he looks at us and sees his own reflection shining back at him, so to speak, he knows, okay, this person is getting there. They're getting ready. If you ever read, again, how many of you have ever heard of a famous, he's actually one of the most famous writers in history, but because he wrote about 500 years ago, probably not every, and in a different language, probably some people don't know him. Famous writer named Dante Alighieri. You never heard of Dante? Okay, Dante's Inferno is the most famous. He actually wrote... The Inferno is just one of three books. The story was Dante's in this dark wood and, basically midlife crisis, can't get out of it. And one of his literary heroes, Virgil, who was an ancient Roman pagan, comes and appears to him and says, I will lead you. And he brings him through hell, through purgatory, and to heaven. And, it's this theological treatise talking about all the different, basically it's like a summary of all of theology by the time he goes through this story. But the threshold between purgatory and heaven is Dante comes and he sees this wall of fire. And imagine this. Imagine if you know, in order for, I don't know, you're on this journey, this quest, and for whatever your great goal is in life, and you've got to go through all these challenges and trials, and all of a sudden you get right in front of you, there's like this wall of fire, like the height of this church. It's this inferno. It's blazing. And you're told, you got to run through it. And he's like, well, I'm having some second thoughts about that. And on the other side, you can hear voices. This is what actually happens in Dante's Purgatory. He says, you can hear the voices of the angels singing and saying, come. You can hear music, you can hear beauty, you can hear this heavenly melody, but you don't get there until you go through the fire. That was the image of the final stage of purgatory. And again, why is that? Well, I'm going to make reference to a reading that we didn't get today. In St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, he says the following. He's talking about the fact that with our lives, we need to, you know, each person gets to live the kind of life that we want, and you're going to be judged on it at the end of your life. He says, let each person take care with how he builds. He says, what our life is like we're building a temple. We're called to build a temple to God, right? This is St. Paul's image that he's using. And he says, okay, so you're born, you get homework. Your life is in order to build this temple to God. And he says, you can use whatever materials you want. You can build with gold, with silver, with stones, with wood, with hay, or with straw. But at the end of your life, whatever you build is going to get tested with fire. It's like God is going to take a flamethrower to it and say, rawr. And depending on what you burn with, what you build with, rather, that's what the result's going to be. Now, if you build with great material, if you have some solid granite cathedral, the flamethrower is not going to do a whole lot to it. It might make it a little bit dirty, but that's it. It's going to stand up just fine. If you're building with wood, you know, dry wood and grass, good luck. And what St. Paul says, okay, everybody's work is going to be tested by fire. If it is burnt, we will suffer loss. But he says there's still a chance for salvation, but you only get salvation when you as though passing through fire. Okay. What does this actually mean for me and you? It means that you and I, in our lives, to a great extent, we choose who we are going to become. Now, that doesn't mean I can choose biologically. You know, I would love to be like LeBron James, okay? It didn't happen. So, that's not a choice I get. And usually what happens is you want to be the opposite of the way you were born. Most of you, people from all of your backgrounds, I used to hear, like, I want to be 6'3", blonde hair and blue eyes. And then I always wanted to grow up. Like, I went to the Philippines for 9 years, and I was laughing out loud. One of the first advertisements I saw was for skin whitener. I'm like, I spent my whole life trying to get your color. Why do you want to be like me? Why do you actually pay money for that? Okay? That's just another proof that none of us is really happy with who we are. But in a certain sense, we get to choose who we become. Yes, God gives you a background. He's, you know, he plops you down. You were in Yonkers. You were not like in heaven and said, out of all the places that I'd really love to be born, I hope I get born in Yonkers. Okay? You were born in this generation. You were born in this. So there's a lot that we don't determine. But once you are here, you get to choose. And with your choices, you'd get to determine, this is the hand of cards I was dealt. How am I going to play it? And you get to determine to a great extent who you're going to become. And every single person here can and should become a saint. So I didn't just say you should become a saint. You can become a saint. God would not have made you. He's not going to waste his time saying, I'm going to make this one over here. Isn't that good luck? This one's condemned to hell. That's not the way God rolls. If he made you, it's for you to become a saint. You can do it. Not on your own, by the grace of God, and that's the whole point of our life. And the things that prevent you from doing that are the things that are not going to hold up in the fire. The fire of God's truth, what is right, what is wrong. You don't get to decide that. And the fire of God's love, ultimately being that when I choose to be selfish, that's going to get burned. And every time I choose to be generous, that's the kind of thing that's going to hold up. So, good luck. Happy building to everybody. And I hope at the end of our lives, I will see lots of granite and stone and gold and silver temples. And hopefully nobody here is trying to build the straw. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.